Nityananda Sri Adwaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Ki Jai. Mathuradham Ki Jai. Navadvipa Mayapuradham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puridham Ki Jai. Gangamaya Jamuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Gaura Premananda. All glories to the assembly. All glories to the assembled. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vinanta Swami Niti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachoni Nivasasa Sangam Paskatyade Satani. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavam Sacha. Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvarutam Parijana Saita Krishna Chaitan Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakabhutam Sacha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we have a Hyundai green, I guess it says. License plate ND386496 that is causing an obstruction. Please move your car. So it's February 10th, 2013, here in New Jagannathpuri, South Africa. And I was asked to say something about Advaitacharya since his appearance day is coming up. And Advaitacharya, those of you who don't know who he is, you can see in the painting there, he's next to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's got white hair and a beard, and he's dancing. So he's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna Das Kaviraj as the cause of the material world. So I thought that we should meditate on the cause of everything in preparation for his appearance day. And for that, we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 18. Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Shananam Surit Prabaha Pralaya Stanam Niranam Bijam Avyayam. I am the goal, Krishna says, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place, and the eternal seed. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Gati means the destination where we want to go. But the ultimate goal is Krishna, although people do not know it. One who does not know Krishna is misled, and his so-called progressive march is either partial or hallucinatory. There are many who make as their destination different demigods, and by rigid performance of the strict respective methods, they reach different planets known as Chandraloka, Suryaloka, Indraloka, Maharloka, etc. But all such lokas are planets being creations of Krishna, are simultaneously Krishna and not Krishna. Such planets being manifestations of Krishna's energy are also Krishna. But actually they serve only as a step forward for realization of Krishna. To approach the different energies of Krishna is to approach Krishna indirectly. One should directly approach Krishna, for that will save time and energy. For example, if there is a possibility of going to the top of a building by the help of an elevator, why should one go by the staircase, step by step? Everything is resting on Krishna's energy, therefore without Krishna's shelter, nothing can exist. Krishna is the supreme ruler because everything belongs to him and everything exists on his energy. Krishna, being situated in everyone's heart, is a supreme witness. The residences, countries, or planets on which we live are also Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate goal of shelter, and therefore one should take shelter of Krishna, either for protection or for annihilation of his distress. And whenever we have to take protection, we should know that our protection must be a living force. Krishna is the supreme living entity. And since Krishna is the source of our generation, or the supreme father, no one can be a better friend than Krishna, nor can anyone be a better well-wisher. Krishna is the original source of creation and the ultimate rest after annihilation. Krishna is therefore the eternal cause of all causes. Gatir Bharta Prabhu Shakshi Nivasa Sharanam Surit Prabaha Pralayastanam Niranam Bijam Avyayam. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place, and the eternal seed. So we want to know, generally, what is the cause, Prabhupada saying here, for protection or for annihilation of distress. Who here has some distress in their life? Can you raise your hand if you have some distress in your life? Look at that. Some of you have no distress in your life. If we have no distress, then we're seeking protection from the possibility of distress. Correct?
Yes.
So those of you who have no distress, I assume you do something for protection. You have a home? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe you have some money?
Yes.
Maybe you have a job? Family? So something for protection. So either we're suffering some distress now, or we're making some arrangement for protection from distress. An intelligent person says, what's the cause? Correct? Why am I suffering? Where does the suffering come from? That's the beginning of human life. Where does it come from? Or where does everything come from? Where do I come from? Where does the world come from? What is it here? What is it all about? So particularly in looking at Advaitacharya is a very interesting personality. He's an incarnation of Krishna. So although God is one, he has many, 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 many forms. Advaitamachyuta manadim anantarupam. Anantarupam. Rupa means form. Ananta. Anta means end. Ananta. His forms are without end. That can mean his form itself is without end. And it can also mean he has many, many, many forms. Now, we don't have many forms in this life at one particular moment. But a little bit. You know, if we're happy, we look different than if we're angry, right? Our form changes somewhat. We change our dress. If we're going to work in the garden, we're going to go to a fancy party. So, a little change. But Krishna actually, because there's no difference between him and his body and his self and his mind, he's all one. He's non-dual. Therefore, when Krishna has different moods, and God has different moods, it's not that God is just boring. It's not that here we have varieties of feelings and moods, and God is just... Hey, how long would you want to stay there? It's kind of cloudy, floating in the clouds. So Krishna also has different moods, and for each mood, he has a different form. Now, what's really interesting is his supreme form. Ramadhi Murtishukala Nyamedhisthan Nanavatar Makarobha Vinesh Yukintu Krishna Swayam Sababhavad Padamapamanya. Or Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. So the supreme form is Krishna because Krishna is Akila Rasa Murti. He contains all of the different moods and aspects, the complete personality of Godhead. But also in various moods he has different personalities that are also complete. But they're focusing on one particular mood, like the singer's focusing on the mood of angry destruction of the demons, right? So when he gets angry, when Krishna gets angry, he looks like a lion. We might try to look like a lion when we're angry, but we might get quite as scary as a single day. So Advaitacharya is an incarnation of the Lord who's in the mood of service to the Lord. And this is the important point. Actually, all of Krishna's expansions and incarnations, Ekaleshwar Krishna, only Krishna is the controller, as Prabhupada says here. All the other even incarnations, they are in the mood of service. Of course, even Krishna is in the mood of service, although he's the Supreme Master. Nitya Nitya Nam Eka, Chaitanya Chaitanya Nam Eko Bhaginam Yogindati Kaman. Although he's the one, he's fulfilling all the desires of everyone. Prabhupada's talking about here the Supreme Father. So the father in a household, he's the master of the household, at least in the traditional household. Nowadays, I don't know. But at least traditionally, the father was the master of the household. But what's he doing as the master? If he's a good father and a good husband, what's he doing? He's serving the wife and the children, isn't he? My dear wife, what would you like? My dear child, what would you like? That's his happiness. It's one of the reasons that a man marries and has children, because it's pleasing to supply the desires of others. Am I correct? Is that pleasing?
Yes.
Does everybody like giving presents to people they love?
Yes.
Yeah. One of the most pleasing things. So God likes that too. So Krishna, even in his supreme form, is a supreme enjoyer. It's not like he's a big dictator. Everybody has to serve me. I'm the big enjoyer. And I take everything and you get nothing. No, he's giving. Our nature as givers, as servants, we're part of Krishna. His nature is also to give. We give the analogy all the time. You feed the stomach, and what does the stomach do? It nourishes the rest of the body. It doesn't keep the food for itself. Could you imagine? You feed the stomach and it all just stays there. It's not like that. So God's not like that. In one sense, you can say everything is serving the stomach, and the stomach is the only enjoyer. But in another sense, the stomach is also serving the whole body. We say you water the root of a tree, but the root is supplying to the whole tree. So even Krishna, the ultimate, absolute, supreme personality of Godhead, he's also serving all of his devotees. In fact, he has unlimited qualities, and his top quality is bhakti-vatsala, that he's serving the devotees. And he loves to expand himself into many, 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 many forms that are all engaged in service. So Advaitacharya, as the creator of the material world, he's creating this material world in loving service. In loving service to himself, as Krishna, and in loving service to himself expanded as the living entities, Vivinamsa. We are all also expansions of Krishna, little expansions. Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We never become like the big God, but to serve us, to please us, the cause of all of our happiness in this world and the cause of all our suffering in this world, the cause of everything in this world, is that the Supreme Lord wants to fulfill our desires. Surit, rid means the heart, su means very or auspicious or dear or beautiful. A friend who's really dear to your heart. If you think about a really good friend you have, someone who sees you as your best and doesn't think you're great, and sees you at your worst and doesn't think you're terrible. Do we have at least one friend like that? I hope everybody has at least one friend like that. That you can be honest with, an authentic relationship. There's no pretense. You don't have to pretend you're better than you are or worse than you are. You can be honest with them. So take that feeling you have of love and friendship with that person and multiply that by a few billion. And that is the love Krishna has for each of us. And it's not just that he has exactly the same love for each of us. He has a special, just like if you have more than one child, your relationship with each child is a little different. Or your relationship with your mother is a little different than with your father. Or if you have more than one brother or sister, your relationship with each of them is a little different.
So Krishna has a special relationship with each of us that he doesn't have with anybody else. We have a special relationship with him. And in our natural position in the spiritual world, it's a land of desire trees called the Vriksha Lakshanapatesu, where anything one wants, one immediately gets, because everything one wants is good. But even if one wants evil things, still there's facility for that. So this world is also created out of love to fulfill the desires of the living entities, even evil desires. And then, of course, you know, when we get our evil desire fulfilled, we have to eat those fruits, and that is the cause of our suffering. So in one sense, the cause of our suffering is Krishna, who facilitates our own desires, but in another sense, it causes our own desires. But the essential cause really is love. And love expressed through service, not love without service. Love without service doesn't really mean anything, does it? You know, maybe we've had some friend like that. Oh, I'll be there for you whenever you call, and one day you call and they say, sorry. Right? We've had friends like that. So that's love without service. And service without love, that's just an employee. You know, they're just working for the money. They don't really care. Since there's no money, bye-bye. So both love and service. This whole world is based on love and service. That's the essence of everything. It's the essence of the spiritual world. It's the essence even of the material world. That Krishna's own incarnation, Dvaitacharya, out of loving service to the Lord and out of loving service to each of us, manifest this world. And the particulars that we get are really manifestations of Krishna's love. We say, I want this. We say, I want this mostly through our actions, by the way. That's the meaning of the law of karma. If you just say, I want something, that doesn't mean much. I want something means much if you do some activity to get it, correct? If someone says, I want to be a doctor, and they just watch TV all day, you're not going to take them very seriously. But if they say, I want to be a doctor, and then they study hard, and they apply in medical school, then you take them seriously. So Krishna sees our desires as evidence to our action. And he gives us good instruction. He gives us books like the Bhagavad Gita. If you desire this, then you'll get this. If you desire this, you'll get this. If you desire this, you'll get this. So please desire this. Like at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, after Krishna's explained everything, what does he say to Arjuna? Oh, right before that, a couple verses before that. What does he say? Now I've explained everything, now you? Now you can do whatever you like. I met a gentleman once, told me that was his favorite verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Now you can do whatever you like. He said, I always follow that instruction every time. So Krishna gives us good instruction, and he says, now you do what you like. He says, if you follow my instruction, you'll be under my protection. If you don't follow my instruction, you're on your own. But even when we're on our own, still Krishna's supplying everything. Without Krishna's supplying, without Krishna's facilitating, nothing can happen. So it doesn't take too much intelligence to understand there must be a person behind the creation. Although there are seemingly intelligent persons who can't seem to figure that out. But it doesn't take too much intelligence. I mean, something very simple. Let's see, this cushion is pretty simple, right? Not very complex. Could a two-year-old child make this? Yes? No? Could a monkey make it? Pretty simple, not very complicated. I mean, this is kind of complicated, but even this isn't as complicated as our brain, or our digestive system, or our circulatory system. And any of us can look at this and immediately say it's a product of intelligence. So, completely logical person looks at the world and says there must be a brain behind everything, and a reasonably logical person can understand something about the personality who possesses that brain. That personality must like order and law and regulation. It must also like surprises. That person must like variety and individuality. That person must like beauty and grandeur and playfulness. And the really intelligent person then tries to get to know that creator who reveals himself in books like the Bhagavad Gita and wants to be known by us. The parents want their children to love them. Right? So Krishna wants us to love him. He's hankering for our love. He loves us unconditionally. I once read a story about a police chief who was hunting for a serial killer, and it turned out it was his own son. And when his son was in the prison, he would visit him, and he wrote an article. He said, as the police chief, I'm very happy that he's in jail, but as a father, my heart is breaking. So although his son was a horrible criminal, still he had love. So Krishna loves all of us, no matter how good we are, or how wicked we are, or somewhere in between. And he's wanting for us to join in this real essence of existence, which is loving service. If we resist, we suffer. If we cooperate, we enjoy. It's just super simple. Just like a little while ago, most people here were dancing. But people were dancing cooperatively. Could you imagine if one person decided, well, I'm going to be the chief dancer and started dancing in their own way, bumping into everybody and causing a ruckus? So that's what each conditioned soul is doing. And say, I'm going to dance on my own without Krishna. I'm not going to work in harmony. I'm not going to be part of this loving service to the Lord and to all living entities. I want everyone to serve me instead. So this is our choice. When we go back to the root, when we go back to the cause, what we find is persons, relationships, a loving service. That's what you get back to. That's even at the root of our distress. And as soon as we become part of that, willingly, we have to do it willingly. Krishna will not force us. As soon as we willingly say, yes, I will cooperate. As Prabhupada says in Krishna's book, we should dance with Krishna, not dance with somebody else or dance independently. It says the whole world is full of Krishna singing. So the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is to try to hear the singing of Krishna in everything. Try to become aware. Prabhupada's talking so many things here. Our residences, countries, or planets on which we live are also Krishna. To become aware that everything is Krishna, everything is Krishna's energy, everything is Krishna's friendship, everything is Krishna's kindness. And then to work in cooperation with that, at which point you will find great happiness. And even a little step towards cooperation with that starts to bring relief from distress. And start to bring us the happiness that we seek. So that's, of course, one of the meanings of the Hare Krishna mantra. I want to come back to my position of service. And I want to dance with you, Krishna, instead of dancing with someone else, or dancing independently. I want to sing along with you. I want to harmonize with your song, just like when Krishna was dancing on Kaliya. So the demigods came, and they tried to make songs that harmonized with Krishna's dancing, and dance in ways that harmonized with his dancing. So that is what we should do. And everything we're doing, all the services that we do here in this temple and all of our centers, all of our members of our Hare Krishna movement are meant to be like that, where we're acting in harmony with Krishna in a mood of loving surrender. So this is exemplified by Advaita Acharya. And I invite you to read some of the wonderful stories of the relationship between Advaita Acharya and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were all Krishna, and how they're relating with each other with so much happiness, so much playfulness, so much of a variety of emotion and activity. Nothing boring, a much deeper and more satisfying than anything we can find in the world. So we can do this now at every moment. We can enter into this relationship. You don't have to wait until you're an advanced devotee. This is how you become an advanced devotee. And you don't have to wait till you go home. You don't have to wait till tomorrow or 10 minutes from now. But now we can choose. I am going to have my body, mind, and words in cooperation with Krishna. And when you do that, you will feel joyful. Susukam kartanabhiyam. Susukam kartanabhiyam. And if you forget, then just pick yourself up and try again. And just like the child learning how to walk, the child learning how to walk doesn't get discouraged if he or she falls down. They just go right back up. Being Krishna conscious is something like that, is described like that in the Nectar Devotion. So make that effort every moment. Let me hear, where is Krishna singing? Where is Krishna behind everything? How is Krishna really everything? How is Krishna there as a witness and as my dear friend? And let me sing and dance with him at every moment, no matter what I'm doing externally in the world. And that is samadhi. So I think we have like about 5 minutes for questions and comments. Is that right? We have about 5 minutes.
3 minutes.
I only have 3 minutes. Oh, I have a written question. Oh my goodness. Okay. Okay. So any other question here besides just come back and chant more? Anybody else? Any question? No?
I must come
more often. You gotta talk to the boss. They take me when they want to take me. Half the time I don't know where I'm going to go until I'm there. So thank you.